This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Don't miss out. Buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, no interest or payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest on this Turn Up Tuesday. Ravens. They're out at one winning drive. Strength and conditioning stuff taking place as we speak. Media availability tomorrow as well. And then it's the draft and it's rookie camp and then everything that comes on after that. But let's revisit last week's Liars Luncheon. And we talked with Kevin Allstreicher last hour. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off tomorrow. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, about Lamar and Rashad Bateman not really being on the same page, at least in 2023. John Harbaugh was asked last week about Lamar's input in regards to the selection of wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, we talked right at the beginning of the offseason, right after the season, about, you know, the type of guy, type of role that he felt would fit. And we were all on the same page with that part of it, you know, like in terms of our roster, kind of what would be comfortable and who we're looking for style-wise. But it doesn't always work out that way. So Lamar, you know, he's been tasked over the text, you know, world with a couple of assignments, right? So we'll see who he likes, you know. And he looks at guys on tape, and he's never been shy about giving his opinion.
Last year we saw Rashad Bateman, 32 receptions, 367 yards, only one touchdown, was targeted 56 times. In a year, Nolan, in which he appeared to be healthy. Zay Flowers came right out of the gate, kind of being his guy. And then when Mark Andrews got hurt on that Thursday night against the Bengals, Isaiah Likely, who had virtually done nothing up to that point, became his guy. Rashad Bateman, for whatever reason. We remember, or I do anyway, I'm sure you do. I mean, I'm not the only one. Watched the Steelers game in Pittsburgh. A ton of drops. Touchdown. Andrews had one. But Bateman had an egregious one like everybody else did that day. And it just never appeared as though he and Lamar were on the same page. So what kind of receiver would Lamar like to have? I don't know. I guess Bateman's not that kind of receiver, maybe.
Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is, did he have any input on the drafting of Bateman? I mean, are they just now consulting Lamar for his opinion on wide receivers in the year 2024? Or was he a part of the Bateman or even the Marquise Brown selection going back to 2019? I guess you consult him. To what level they take his word and actually apply that to ordering their big board, I don't know. I probably guess very little. But you want to appease your quarterback. He's your franchise guy. The stuff with Bateman doesn't make sense at all. I mean, the people that watch the film in depth, Jonas Schaefer being one of them,
sure,
has come on the show and said, look, this guy's getting open. He has no trouble getting open. He beats his man one-on-one pretty consistently. All right, you can think of examples here and there where he's dropped passes. That obviously works against him. But if a guy's getting open that much in the NFL and he's not getting the ball, it really just doesn't make sense.
And it's insane. Because the target share has never really been that heavy in his favor. I mean, Zay Flowers, and they both played 16 games last year. Zay Flowers doubled his targets. Forget about actual production, just targets in general. And going back to 2022, when Bateman only played 7 games but averaged 19 yards a reception with a couple of TDs, he had 15 catches for 285, was targeted 28 times. So it's not like Lamar. It's almost like he's a secondary option for him, not his go-to guy.
Right, and you think about play calling, too. You go back to the whole Zay versus Bateman usage stuff. I mean, it seemed like early and often last year, there were design plays to get Zay Flowers involved right away. Not just in the pass game, but, all right, stuff behind the line of scrimmage, end-arounds, things like that, even a part of the run game occasionally. Not saying you got to use Bateman the same way, but there was a clear emphasis from day one with Zay Flowers, we're going to get him involved. Didn't really see specially designed plays for Bateman. Maybe I'm wrong. I obviously don't have access to their playbook. But
you sure about that?
You know, I don't call plays either. In Madden, I do. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes
sense.
Dude,
I hear what you're saying, but I mean, I guess if you're doing the film after each game and they watch a ton of film, more than we'll ever watch, I mean, Mung has got, hey, you see this guy? He's kind of open here. I mean, what do you do? Route tree here? What's his, where's he the option for you? I just found it fascinating. There's certainly an affinity for tight ends and little receivers because Marquise Brown was his guy.
Mm-hmm.
Andrews has been since pretty much day one. They both came in the same year. And then likely just, he turned into John Mackey. All of a sudden, and then Andrews came back for the postseason and likely was forgotten. Again, maybe he's just comfortable throwing to a couple of guys who he feels like he can vibe with.
Maybe you got to be a Florida guy to earn Lamar's trust. I don't know. I mean, Andrews isn't, but no. Wide receivers, Marquise, Zay.
All right, let's get back to the offensive line, which is up there to keep Lamar upright and open holes perhaps for Derrick Henry. We were talking earlier, we've been talking since the season ended, prepping for the draft once we found out where the Ravens would pick, which is 30. I mean, offensive line. Hey, Daniel Falele, third year. Ben Cleveland, third year. Voorhees hasn't played in over a year. Sala, is he a project? Bottom line, John Harbaugh, what about your in-house O-line options before the draft?
Whoever plays the best, we always say, who's the best player? It's the player who plays the best. You could have been the best player 5 years ago, but you're not the best player now. So every day you go out to practice, every game you play, there's an accumulated, established aspect of it. But right now we're a little more open. So those guys that you're talking about are going to be competing with whoever comes in here, and we'll just see who does it. But I think those guys are ready to compete and do well, and they'll be in here Monday. Can't wait to see them. It's going to be great to see those guys in here Monday working hard and see what happens.
You know, well, they're there today on a Tuesday. They draft a tackle, the Ravens at 30. That player starting. And then the in-house options are going to be fighting for spots here. Because Patrick McCary is going to be the Swiss Army knife guy who can literally play all 5 offensive line spots. But if I'm Falele and I'm Ben Cleveland, I'm a little concerned about my long-term status here with the Ravens if they're going offensive tackle or even guard for that matter, or a combo of that comes in and plugs and plays right out of the gate.
Right. So
at your expense.
Yeah. You list out that group, Falele, Sala, Cleveland, and Voorhees. Of that group, I feel like Voorhees is almost at the top of that list without even playing a single NFL snap. Like, people are more intrigued in what he could provide as a starting option for you this year. And okay, maybe that speaks highly of him and the draft grades that he was getting prior to his injury. But what does that say about the guys that have had NFL reps under their belt, that this guy who is a redshirt year in the NFL is probably has maybe more of an inside track to get a starting spot than you do?
Yeah.
At least in a Cleveland case. We'll go Cleveland and Voorhees in particular.
I mean, Cleveland's a massive human being, but what, last couple years hasn't exactly shown up in the best of shape, which has been to his detriment, as we've seen.
Right, and I think even if he is, you know, looks good out the gate, physical shape, passes the conditioning test, he's ready to rumble day one, I still think in the eyes of the front office and the eyes of the coaching staff, Voorhees has the inside track.
Got more football talk coming your way at 1 o'clock with NFL Lunch. Got draft talk coming your way at 1:30 with Eric Edholm from NFL.com. When we come back, let's count that cash here. Let's turn up the money with buy or sell. The Wizard Walt Williams talking about the NBA play-in, which starts tonight. Hey, Milwaukee could be in trouble when they get going because it looks like Giannis Antetokounmpo's availability could be not there.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here. Vinny's off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Got a lot going on. World of Sports, Orioles Twins tonight, 6:35. Camden Yards, Baltimore Baseball tonight. Brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Life for Pickles. Me and Jim Hunter. We're getting you ready to rock and roll. Grace Rodriguez going for his third win of the season. NFL draft 9 days away. And NBA playoffs basically start tonight. NHL playoffs right around the corner. Caps win, they're in. Big fight coming up this weekend. Ryan Garcia taking on my long-lost cousin, Devin Haney. Haney's going to kick his ass. But that's neither here nor there. We got a lot to get to. But let's count that cash for buy or sell.
All right. Start with a green. S&P 500 up about 50 cents here. That's something. DraftKings up $1.56. Under Armour down 3 cents.
Ah, come on, man.
Can't win them all. We'll try again tomorrow. We'll start here in the NFL, where the Chargers are facing a critical draft next week. Their new front office and coaching staff has people hopeful for brighter days, but the fact is the roster has more than a few prominent holes to fill. Who will Joe Hortiz and company target? Well, one former Michigan player says that there's going to be some favoritism towards the maize and blue on draft weekend. Wide receiver prospect Roman Wilson said, quote, "I wouldn't be surprised if 9 of us end up going to the Chargers." That's how many picks they have. Says, but seriously, at least 5 or 6. I think he's going to take a lot of us, talking about Harbaugh there. Mm-hmm. Are you buying or selling the Chargers will draft multiple Michigan players this year?
You always have an affinity for what you know. Multiple is 2 count as multiple.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll buy it. But they could really use some help. Mike Williams is gone. Keenan Allen's gone. I mean, who's going to run the football for them? I know there's no, like, you know, Bijan Robinson level running back in the draft because Eckler's gone down to D.C. They do have a franchise quarterback, but he can't do it all by himself, as we have seen the results recently with them.
Of course, buy or sell brought to us by the Farmer's Dog. Can't forget that.
Correct.
Over to Major League Baseball. Really a sport unlike any other when it comes to the actual equipment used to play. It seems the ball itself is always a topic of discussion in a way that other sports, that's not the case. The start of every year, what kind of ball are we working with here? Is it live? Is it dead? In recent years, there's been accusations of juiced balls leading to more home runs, more offense. Well, this year, Red Sox closer Kenley Jansen, he's not a fan of the quality of the balls, said, quote, "I will always be accountable for myself. I'm going to get better. But if your bullpen balls are better rubbed than the game balls, it's embarrassing." Talking about rubbing balls there. But buy or sell, Bob, MLB's unwillingness to have uniformity with the baseball is a detriment to the game.
You would have to buy it to some level. But is that a fact? Like, if you go to Camden Yards, is the baseball different grip-wise than what you get at Yankee Stadium or in Cleveland, Seattle? I mean, I don't know. I have one baseball at my house. Well, I've got like 4 of them are signed. But the one that I have is like, it's still got, what's his name? It's an American League president. So they haven't had league president, Bobby Brown. Mm. So it's an old one. is my point there. So I have no idea what a Major League Baseball feels like.
Go over to the NBA here. Victor Wembanyama, his first NBA season has come to a close. He's going to run away with the Rookie of the Year award. But overall, the Spurs, pretty terrible as a team again. 22-60 was their record. How will they navigate this offseason, knowing that their top pick from last year has been as advertised? They've got some cap space, plenty of draft capital in the coming years, plus wherever they may land in this year's lottery. Buy or sell, Bob, the Spurs need to commit to winning ASAP, or Wemby will want to leave San Antonio down the road.
I'll soft half buy. They need to commit to winning ASAP because they've sucked for a few years. Greg Popovich isn't getting any younger, so I'll go with that. Now, whether or not Wemby's going to want to get out of San Antonio, I don't know about that. That one I'm not going to say with great certainty because he's never spoken to me. But Tim Duncan made a career there. David Robinson did. George Gervin played most of his career in San Antonio. And what do they all have in common? They're all in the Hall of Fame. So you can make a nice little living and be a legacy dude playing for the Spurs.
Well, wide receiver has become maybe the Bills' biggest draft need at this point after their decision to trade Stephon Diggs. They currently hold the 28th overall pick, but one player wants to see some aggressiveness out of his GM next Thursday. Von Miller posted a meme that suggested Brandon Bean should move up in the first round to land a top-flight wide receiver, and many are calling this year's wide receiver class the best in a very long time, with talent not only throughout the entire first round, but into day two as well. Buy or sell, Bob, there's no need for the Bills to panic and move up.
I'll soft buy that one too. I don't want to be wishy-washy here, but if you look at them, and there's enough wide receiver depth, as you said, Nolan, to get someone at 28, and he gets someone to replace Stephon Diggs, his level of production, or even Gabe Davis, for that matter. You find out that's why they play the games. But looking at their failings over the last couple of postseasons, the defense couldn't get a stop. Where was the pass rush for them this year? I know Milano got hurt, which was huge for them. Their secondary, right? Didn't they get decimated in free agency and whatever with the salary cap defections? I don't think wide receivers the end-all, be-all difference maker for them. I'd be more concerned with the defense. I mean, this is a team that lost a lead in a playoff game with 13 seconds left. And even though they yanked the field goal in the divisional round to Kansas City last year or just a couple months ago, what do you think the Chiefs are going to charge down with a minute and a half left and get in the field goal range? And then the game, there was one that really stood out against Philadelphia during the regular season. They couldn't stop anybody. Hey, Von Miller, look in the mirror, dude. I think the defense needs an upgrade more than anything else. Yeah, you need receivers, but I don't think that's the number one priority. You have a stud quarterback. You got a really good young running back in James Cook. Tighten up that D. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk about the NBA. The NBA. You'll see the best in basketball. Don't we have these games on our sister station here, by the way, Nolan?
The late night game tonight on 1300 The Bet.
How about that? The Wizard Walt Williams is joining us next. Talk about the play-in tournament, if you want to call it that. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East Report, 1:15. And more draft talk, NFL, that is, with Eric at home, 1:30.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Some AC/DC for you. You want to allow the play it, send your request. Plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Fitting is off today. I'll be back tomorrow. NBA play-ins tournament, I guess it is, starts tonight and then tomorrow as well. A couple of matchups that we'll get into. And we'll talk about the regular season that was, some of the surprises there with our next guest. He's a Maryland legend. His numbers in the Raptors there at the Xfinity Center, rightfully so. He's played in a few NBA playoff games himself. He's on the Maryland Sports Commission fan hotline. Let's welcome back to the show our friend and yours. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Can't complain, Walt. Always appreciate your time. And you know, we have to start with a sad note here. Kevin McClinton passed away last week, your teammate at Maryland, your friend, most importantly. like you, recruited by Bob Wade to College Park, like you played for Gary Williams during your time there. And just talk about what Kevin McClinton meant to you.
Oh, man, he was a great friend. Just like you say, he was beyond a teammate for me. He was like my brother. You know, so we stayed in contact. We talked, Zoom, text often. So it's a great loss, devastating. You know, just a kind-hearted person and, you know, a fierce competitor. Just had some great times. And it was awesome to be able to compete with him and, you know, to play at that level with him. I really thought going into games that we were the best backcourt in the ACC in that 91-92 season. So it was a pleasure playing with him.
And we talk about, you know, like yourself, along with Kevin McClinton, you know, kind of bridging that gap as Maryland was trying to get out of the throes, Walt, of probation. Maybe is he kind of underappreciated in regards to what he meant to keep Maryland respectable during that very tough time because of the NCAA sanctions there?
Oh, yes, absolutely, man. You know, he's a true point guard, pure point guard. Elevated guys, made guys better. And so, yes, I mean, you know, just going through that period of time was just a tough period for the University of Maryland. And so in a tough time, tough conditions to play under. And, man, he relished in those moments. You know, he was just a true, like I said earlier, a true competitor, a true warrior. And he showed it during those times.
The Wizard Walt Williams joining us here. So rest in peace, Kevin McClinton, from your Maryland fans and family here. NBA play, is it a tournament or is it just kind of a couple of days? But either way, some interesting matchups. But Walt, before we get to that, the regular season, was there anything that stood out to you in a negative way for teams or maybe even players that were expected to achieve this sort of a super terrific stuff? You know, I'm looking at Sacramento, and look, they're in. I mean, they got to play Golden State, but, I mean, looked like they were about to take the next step and for whatever reason didn't.
Well, you know, I think that this year they had to deal with injuries along the way to key players consistently throughout the season. So, you know, just threw their rhythm off. And so they didn't pick up where they left off from last year. And sometimes that happens. And so the thing that they got to do through this period is just stay consistent and making sure that they are here in this circle. You know, regardless of what you have to deal with, you got to still be a playoff team. And right now, they're pretty healthy, and I think that they are a dangerous team when you're talking about especially one game. But they are a dangerous team in this playoffs. They were predicted to be a higher seed than they are right now, so that tells you that the makeup of this team is high level. So it could all come together right here in the playoffs.
Now, in the East, now Orlando is the 5 seed. They're going to play Cleveland. Well, but what the Magic's season, how would you judge that? Because they had kind of fallen off the grid there for a little bit, Wiz, and now they're back. I mean, are they kind of scared? If I'm Donovan Mitchell, I guess, am I a little worried about my first-round opponents here?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a young guy in Banchero and Wagner. Those guys have been consistent. Young guys that's been, you know, can create their own. They have guys, Cole Anthony, that can shoot the ball. So they have a lot of young guys, a lot of young shooters, a lot of young scorers who can get it done. But most importantly, they get it done on the defensive end. And then you have a guy like Markelle Fultz. I think he brings it all together. He's a pass-first point guard, somebody who has the ball in their hand and has a lot of young guys who are trying to score all the time. So when you can have a point guard that can facilitate like that and then lead the charge on the defensive end, you know, that elevates the team. So I think that this young Magic team is a very dangerous team when it comes to playoff time because they can do it on both ends.
The Wizard Walt Williams, now before we get to the play-in stuff, we'll get into here with your predictions for the next two nights. But we were just talking, Walt, about Victor Wembanyama's going to win Rookie of the Year, with all due respect to Chet Holmgren, and rightfully so. Is this an indicator of how much the game has changed, that he lived up to the advanced hype, which was big-time hype, but they leveled up, but not a lot? I mean, back in the olden days, a big man would come in and be the guy that everybody thought. The team would get 20 games better. Is this kind of the new age of the NBA where just one big man being awesome isn't enough to turn your season around here?
I think they individualize things. I think that when you're talking about the rookie of the year, that's an individual award, and a lot of times that come with the elevation of the team, but sometimes it doesn't. And so that doesn't take away from when you watch this game, you can see that kid is the best rookie out of all of them. So whether or not he's raising the level of his players yet, or if they have enough to play at that level, all of those things, all of those factors are weigh in. So, but when you're just talking about the rookie of the year, that's just about his impact and what he's doing in the game. And you can clearly tell that he's the most impactful rookie of the season.
Walt, how surprised were you that Boston ran away with the East the way that they did?
It was a little bit of shock. I thought that they would be the best team in the East, but I didn't think that they would be able to run through teams like they've been. They had a couple of they had a rough patch where things were kind of leveling themselves out, but for the most part, I think that they've been they've shown that they are the best team in the East. They got a wealth of talent. When you're talking about Drew Holiday, Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis, I think that they play well together. They are complementary players. I think the stars like Drew and Porzingis, they are stars in their own right, but they know how to blend in with other superstars.
Walt, when you played in your first play-in game, what was it like for you? What were the nerves?
Oh man, it was definitely a different level. You understand the sense of urgency. Every possession is just so important. You're in depth with your studying of all the players, the plays that they're running, and things like that. So your knowledge of what the other team is going to do is at a higher level as well. So that puts a lot more pressure on the execution part of it. And so you understand all of these things. And so it takes everything to the next level. But at the end of the day, it's basketball. And if you have confidence in what you can get done, it's just that. You know, you go out there and you do your best, and then you see what happens from there.
All right, well, before we break down the play-in stuff, are you cool with the play-in tournament? So basically means that 20 of the 36 teams have a chance to do some stuff here in the postseason.
Well,
32
teams,
I mean.
I will admit, early on, I didn't know about this. I was a little questioned it a little bit, but you know, watching it, it's exciting basketball. I think it elevates the playoffs. I think it takes it to the next level as well. So, especially the teams that are in it this year. I mean, you know, it's just exciting basketball. So I think the playoffs as a whole, you know, you have some great matchups that's going to come this year.
And by the way, it's 30 teams. Mike Ozinta's not doing all that great. Walt Williams, Maryland legend. All right, Philly and Miami. Embiid's back. They're on a heater. No pun intended. Winners of 8 in a row, but Miami always scary in these situations.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you always got to pay attention to Miami in these situations. They are a team that rises to the occasion when it comes to playoff time. It seems like this team has the same pattern every year. Deal with a lot of injuries, a lot of folks in and out throughout the season, and then regular season time we get healthy and everybody comes together. But having said all of that, Embiid, man, I mean, you just got to deal with that. So I think that he is the factor. I think that Philly beats Miami and gets that 7th seed.
Now, Miami then would play the winner of Chicago and Atlanta, which will be who, Walt Williams?
I'm going with ATL on there. I think that, you know, with the absence of LaVine and you got Trey coming back, I think that Atlanta gets past Chicago.
Now, tonight you got New Orleans hosting the Lakers. LeBron, what do you have? One of them incredible performances a couple of days ago against that Pelicans. Good to see Zion Williamson on the grand stage. What do you think?
I think that the Lakers showed that, you know, in that game right there, they understood that they were going to match up in this game right here. So I think that the Lakers did a good job in the game before previous, and I think that they've installed confidence in the others. And so I think the Lakers come out of this. I think that they beat New Orleans in this 7-8 game.
And then Sacramento and Golden State here.
I'm going with Golden State, man. I think that Steph and the young fellas, I think they'll give them, you know, one last stand and pull this win out. I think it'll be a tough game. Sacramento got a lot of young guys who are rising and mid-level guys that are stepping up as well. But I just don't think they have enough in a one-game matchup with the Warriors, and I think their experience will take over.
The Wizard, Walt Williams. It's Vinny and Eddie, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Henney with you. Walt, today is your birthday, so congratulations to that. If you were inclined to do a celebratory drink, what are you going with here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, you already know. We got clutch vodka, you know, only because it's gluten-free. I got to keep, you know, my figure in shape, you know. And, you know, no sugars, no carbs. It's organically filtered. And also, we've partnered with University of Maryland's NIL program. A portion of each bottle sale goes to the One Maryland Collective, and that supports the University of Maryland Athletics. So we wanted to be a part of giving back, and we wanted to provide an opportunity where the community can be a part of it also. So that's what we've done. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Clutch Vodka, and then follow us on X at Clutch Spirits. You can follow me on Instagram and X at Walt the Wizard 42.
The Wizard Walt Williams celebrating his 30th birthday today, everybody. Walt, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you throughout the playoffs. Catch up next week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Walt Williams, everyone. It's Vinny and Henny, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Henny with you. Vinny's back tomorrow. Nolan's on the other side of the glass. We'll reset for you when we return. NFL lunch, feed you some more football at 1 o'clock. Give you the American League East report, updated standings as well. And then Eric at home, NFL.com, talk about the draft. First round 9 days away. Is he hearing any possible surprises there?
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Sit here during a break, me and Nolan watching the replay of Super Bowl 47, and they just showed that fourth down play inside the red zone for the 49ers, Jimmy Smith against Michael Crabtree. And granted, we're talking 13. Coming up on over 11 years ago now since they played the Super Bowl. Could have gone either way. I mean, it was a close call. Now, if that would have been Torrey Smith and it was San Francisco defending and the roles were reversed, we'd be saying to this day that should have been pass interference. But that was Crabtree. And it was the Ravens that benefited from the non-call. I mean, we can debate whether or not Lee Evans dropped the pass or was knocked out of his hands, is which I'm going with a pass defense. See, a drop to me is where you're wide open, you get hit in the hands, and you just drop the ball. That's a drop. This was, if there was no defender on Lee Evans, he catches the ball and the Ravens go to the Super Bowl and would have beat the Giants, by the way, probably handily. That ball was knocked out of his hands. This here was more of a judgment call that could have gone either way, and fortunately went in Baltimore's way. Nolan McGraw.
You know, we were having a good show here, Bob, and you just have to go and bring
I'll
up.
I'll tell
Lee
you,
Evans.
Man, it's just, you know. Yeah.
They're both drops.
Okay.
Contested or not. But anyway, it was mutual contact, watches, first time seeing the play in a little while. Jersey tug by Smith, but Crabtree, I mean, he's pushing down on the helmet.
Yeah.
Jimmy does fall to the ground. And then, biggest of all, the ball was overthrown. It wasn't catchable. Way out of bounds. And I know that doesn't always or shouldn't always impact whether something's a foul or not, but I think in this situation, game on the line, was it catchable or not? That has to be at the that has to be a big factor.
Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh losing his mind, and rightfully so, because John Harbaugh would have been doing the same thing. But that Super Bowl and the result that it was, 34-31, it was a blowout. And then there's a long delay at halftime, and then Jacoby returned the second half kickoff for a touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ravens defense was kind of sieve-like, and I think that gets forgotten too. The Ravens defensively in 2012, they were middle of the pack. This wasn't the prime Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, top five every year defense. This defense was not all that great. And we talked off the 2010 Ravens, the 2011. And to this day, I think they were both better teams that didn't win the Super Bowl. They would have never blown a lead like that. They wound up winning. That's all that matters, unlike those two teams. But don't look back at the 2012 Ravens thinking they were the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. They weren't even close to that.
Right. Already lesser talent. And if you remember, Haloti Ngata left the game early in
right.
the Super Bowl. So you didn't even have him for that entire second half comeback. You're already a lesser roster, and then you lose one of your best guys.
Yeah. This past year's Ravens defense was better than that year's defense, 2023. Ravens won the Super Bowl that year because of a hot quarterback finding a relationship with Anquan Boldin, a rookie kicker banging that field goal in overtime against Denver. Corey Graham had two picks, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. right, in that
yep.
Playoff
Huge.
Game?
Yep.
So they outscored Bernard Pollard with a big hit in the AFC Championship game to force the fumble against the Patriots. I mean, that team won on offense and big plays. I'm starting to get agitated here with myself. Kansas City scored 0 points in the second half this year in the AFC Championship game. And if you would have said, we talked about it 1,000 times again, Nolan, Chiefs will score. You say it on Friday. Well, Bob, I know for a fact, and Nolan and Vinny and listeners, Kansas City's going to score 17. The outcome of the game is going to be what? I'm going 31-17 Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Again, we were having a good day here.
Yes.
You're really trying your hardest.
Man, get myself all agitated here for no reason. But anyway, the Ravens did win. No call in the end zone, and it is what it is. 49er fans probably to this day say they got screwed. It is what it is. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch. Feed you some more football. Turn it up Tuesday. We got the American League East report coming up at 1:15. And then Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Preview the draft with him. He's got a couple of mock drafts as well. What does he think about what the Ravens could do at 30? And the trade possibilities within that top 10.
Vinny and Haney on Baltimore's 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny Serrato here for Hillside Lawn Service. Spring has sprung, but I don't have to worry about crabgrass and dandelions taking over my turf because I'm Team Hillside. Go to hillsidelawn.com or give them a call at 410-399-2207. Tell them Vinny sent you.
Get ready to experience the transformative power of Fresh Factors from Springtime Supplements. With over 45 years of trusted experience in dog care, we continue to see Fresh Factors revolutionize the industry. Fresh Factors, a time-tested solution for your dog's vitality.
When Duke, my black lab, was diagnosed with severe hip problems, I thought it was the end. But Fresh Factors changed everything.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.